All right, let's dive into something pretty huge today. We're talking about the soul. Now, that's a word we all know, right? It's everywhere, in just about every religion and spiritual belief system you can think of. But here's a question for you. If you had to really pin it down, could you define it? For most of us, it's just kind of fuzzy, a vague, abstract idea. So today, let's see if we can bring that idea into sharp focus. Okay, so to get started, let's kick things off with a question that's going to flip this whole idea on its head. What if your soul isn't something you have, but something you build? I mean, really think about that. Not some kind of pre-installed software you're born with, but something you are actively, consciously constructing every single day of your life. That's the big idea we're going to dig into. So, to really wrap our heads around this, we've got to push past all those fuzzy, hazy ideas that we're used to. We need to look at a much more, well, a more concrete and active definition of what the soul might actually be. And you can really see the difference here. On the one hand, you've got the common ideas, right? An immaterial essence, an animating principle. They sound kind of passive, don't they? But then, look at the other side. This is a much more dynamic concept. It calls the soul your spiritualizing self. It's not a thing, it's a project, a joint creation between you and God. See how that completely changes the game? It goes from being an object to being a process. Okay, so this brings us to a really powerful definition. The soul is described as a real, semi-spiritual, and growing entity. It's not just some ghost in the machine. No, it's more like a bridge that you're building to connect your physical reality, right here and now, with a whole spiritual level of existence. So think of it as a part of you that is actively developing, something with real substance and a real purpose. All right, so if the soul is something we actually create, then the big question is, how does it even start? I mean, where does it come from? The idea here is that it's not something you're just born with automatically. It's something that is born within you at a very, very specific moment in your life. And here's how that amazing moment happens. It's basically a three-step process, and it all comes down to one thing: your very first moral choice. You know that moment when you truly consciously choose right over wrong for the first time? That single act is like a spark. It merges your will with the spirit that's already within you. And bam, in that instant, in that fusion, your immortal soul is born. This quote really just nails it. It tells us that the very DNA of the soul, what it's made of, is moral choice and spiritual attainment. It's that ability to know God and that urge to be like him. So the soul isn't just some passive passenger along for the ride. Its entire nature is defined by our ability to choose and our deep desire to grow towards something greater. So, okay, the soul is born, but the work is far from over. I mean, not even close. Just like our bodies and our minds, this new spiritual part of you has to be developed. It doesn't just sit there fully formed, it needs to be nurtured and exercised constantly if it's going to grow and mature.
And this is a really great way to think about it. We all get this, right? Our bodies, you nurture them with physical food, you exercise them with physical activity. Simple. Our minds, you nurture them with knowledge and ideas, and you exercise them by solving problems. Well, the soul works on the exact same principle. You nurture it with moral decisions, and you exercise it with acts of love and service. It's that straightforward.
Now, here's a really important point, so listen up. It's not about being perfect. It's not about never, ever making a mistake. The growth, the divinity, comes from what you strive to do. It's all about the intention, the effort, the deep desire to align your choices with something higher. That right there, that's the real engine that drives the growth of your soul. Okay, let's talk about one of the soul's superpowers, if you will. It has this incredible, unique function, the power of reflection. And this is something way, way more than just being self-aware or conscious. Let's break this down a bit. Self-consciousness, that's your personality, right? It's the part of you that just knows, I am me, I exist. You're aware of yourself and other people. But self-reflection, that's the soul at work. That's the ability to kind of step outside yourself, look back, and ask the tough questions. Who am I really? What is the moral quality of my character? It's that power of sincere self-evaluation. And what's so cool is that when you start using this power, when you really exercise it, you begin to develop something called moral mindfulness. You just get better at it.
you get better at spotting moral meanings, at choosing divine values, at being truly sincere when you examine yourself. And all of this, it leads to real, genuine wisdom. And of course, a whole lot more soul growth.
And that, right there, is the whole point. This incredible ability to self-reflect, to discern truth, and to perceive spirit. This is what forever elevates us as human beings above the level of the animal world. It's the one feature that gives our lives this unique depth and this incredible potential for meaning. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about what the soul is, how it's born, how it grows, but what's the point? What is all this for? Well, that brings us to the soul's ultimate purpose, its grand design. The soul, it turns out, isn't just for this life. It's the very thing you're building for the next one. It's described as your celestial shuttle. Just think about that. It's the vehicle designed to carry everything essential, everything truly valuable about you, across that threshold of death and into whatever comes next. So how does that actually work? Well, the material stuff, your body, your brain, that's all temporary. It doesn't make the trip. But your soul, because it's not fully material, it can. It's the part that survives. It becomes the nucleus, the very seed around which your new immortal self is going to be built. But, and this might be the most important point of all, this is not automatic. Survival is not the default setting. Think of it like an opt-in program. It all hinges on your choice. Your choice to participate, your choice to build, and your choice to grow that soul in the first place. So what happens if you don't? What if you don't build that celestial shuttle? If you go through this life and you just don't develop a soul, what part of you survives? The answer is stark. It's zero. Nothing. Without a soul, there is simply nothing of you with any survival value to carry forward. This quote from Baha'u'llah just drives the point home perfectly. A complaining soul complains even in paradise. I mean, wow. It means you take you with you. Death isn't some magic reset button. The character, the values, the habits you weave into your soul right here, right now, that's exactly what you show up with on the other side. Apparently, even paradise can't fix a character that you haven't worked on yourself. So, in the end, it all comes back to us. The power, the responsibility, it's all in our hands. If this life really is the construction site for your eternal self and every single choice you make is a building material, then the only question left is a deeply personal one for every single one of us. What will you choose to build?